Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry, and you just tuned in to Black Nurse Biblecast. Hey, this is awesome. We are now and ending, basically, the devotional series of Cross and Crowns. This is day 7, and really, really wonderful devotion that we encountered this time. We went through 7 days of this wonderful devotion by pastor, teacher, Dr. Charles Stanley of In Touch Ministries. Again, if you haven't had a chance to go check him out, you know, Pastor Charles Stanley, he has been preaching for so many years. I picked this because, one, being the Easter story leading, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the you know, basically they call Resurrection Sunday. Some of us still call it Easter. Sometimes I still call it Easter too. I don't, you know, a lot of people, they're so like, I don't want to say politically correct, or now we have what you call biblically correct. They say no, it's not Easter, it's Resurrection Sunday. I mean, you know what? Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I can still feel the same about it both ways. You know, do I celebrate Easter eggs and bunnies? No, though they are fun. You know, as far as like, you know, going out and Easter egg hunting and stuff. You got to remember, I have a lot of nostalgia when it comes to things like that too. Though I remember times of you know, going out and having Easter egg hunts and even at my parents' church, you know, and I thought it was wonderful even as a kid. And I wouldn't take that away from the kids. You know, that is a fun part of just, you know, gathering together. And no, it doesn't have anything to do with the resurrection. You know, the story of Christ is totally different and should be separated from the Easter eggs and Easter egg hunting and stuff like that. I think Easter egg hunting, you know, during that time for kids, it's just a fun thing to do, you know. So I know there's people out there that, oh, you don't want to celebrate that because it means this and all these underlying meanings about what it symbolizes and all that stuff. I don't get into all that. So anyway, and I don't know why I just said that to you guys, but listen, yeah, this is the last day of this devotion. What I plan to do, though, just so that you know, we plan on reading some portions of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I really want us to focus going forward on some of the most powerful events and the most powerful things that were said among him and his disciples. Going toward the last days of his life, leading up to the crucifixion and to the burial and to the resurrection. Also, we'll be learning about how the Pharisees and Sadducees and teachers of religious law, how they even did a plot on how to kill Jesus Christ, and just so many things that we're going to be reading about. And so I want you guys to really do stay tuned for further episodes going forward. Now, we will get back into Abraham and the story of Abraham and Isaac. You know, I'm not done with that. Matter of fact, I just gave something away, but yeah, we did talk about a little bit about Isaac. So, or we haven't talked about Isaac, excuse me. We've talked about Abraham and Sarah, but not Isaac yet. So we are going to be going back into Genesis. So those of you that have remembered us going through Abraham, yes, I jumped off of that. And then we got back into the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ through a devotion. And then we're going to be going through a little bit of Jesus Christ as the gospels and just understanding that leading up to the resurrection of Christ. And then from that point, once we are done with that, then we'll be getting right back into Abraham and the story about him and his wife, and going forward about, you know, almost three generations of God's goodness, or God's dealing with a generation of individuals. Okay, listen, I know this was a lengthy intro, so without further ado, sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Black Nurse Biblecast. Hey, good morning. Good morning. So I'm glad you guys finally made it. We made it to day 7 of Cross and Crowns. And it has been a wonderful journey throughout this this devotional. This was a wonderful devotional, guys, honestly. We do a few devotions, you know, going through the YouVersion app, and I just am really excited and can't say enough about how awesome this was. Cross and Crowns, 7-day Easter devotional from In Touch Ministries. And so, you know, we learned in day 1 the precious blood of Jesus, and then on day 2 redemption and forgiveness. Day 3 was justification and reconciliation. Day 4 was sanctification and access to God. And then we went to, day 5. Day 5 was the resurrection, why it matters. And then on day 6, which was yesterday, because he lives. Okay. And now today, our final day, we're going to be getting into conquering the unconquerable. Okay, so let's see what this is about. We're going to talk about it a little bit and see what God has for us this morning. So it says, Jesus told his disciples that he will rise from the dead by actually doing so, by conquering the unconquerable. He not only proved the truth of that one statement, but also validated everything else he ever said. The resurrection earned and deserves our trust for all that Christ ever claimed, promised, warned, and predicted. Because Jesus is alive, we have the awesome certainty that our God is actively involved in our lives. In fact, we see evidence of his living through us, We pray and God answers. We watch his work in the people's hearts and change lives. We ask him to cleanse us from our sins, and we walk away forgiven. The guilt is gone, and we experience a profound sense of restored fellowship with our Father. Why? Because he is real. And when something is true, you don't have to worry about defending it. You simply live it out, trusting God, and he will take care of the results. Because Jesus died in our place and rose again, we are God's forgiven children, and what he has done for us can never be undone. Now in John 10:28-30 promises, I give eternal life to quote unquote my sheep, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Do you hear the permanence and the guarantee of that promise? No one, not even you yourself, can snatch you from the Father's hand once you are his. John 3:16 also promises, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, period. God didn't say except or if. He said eternal life. That means forever, irrevocable, 100% sure. And he offers it to whomever will believe. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can journey forward with the assurance that if we trust him as Savior, we will live and reign with him forever. May our risen Savior remind you today and every day of the certainties of the cross and his resurrection, and may he encourage your heart deeply, abundantly, with never-ending joy. Awesome. We'll be right back. Hey, okay, welcome back. Welcome back. So now we're going to get right into this again. Now we discover conquering the unconquerable. What exactly did Jesus conquer? Okay. He conquered death. He conquered sin. Okay. He conquered it by actually doing so, but he also not only proved the truth of that one statement, but also validating everything else, okay, he ever said. It says here, the resurrection earned and deserves our trust for all that Christ ever claimed, promised, warned, and predicted. Okay, so it says, because Jesus is alive now, and this is a real important truth. Now that Jesus is alive, he deserves, it says, we have the awesome certainty that our God is actively involved in our lives. In fact, we see evidence of his living through us. We pray and God answers. We watch him work in people's hearts, change lives. We ask him to cleanse us from our sins, and we walk away forgiven. The guilt is gone, and we experience a profound sense of restored fellowship with our Father. Why? Because he is real. And when something is true, we don't have to worry about defending it. You simply live it out, trusting God, and he will take care of the results. Now, let me stop right there. What I come away from this real quick is the fact that you and I, the living testimony that we have is our walk with the Lord. Okay. One of the biggest proofs of Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection is the changed life that you and I have. Okay. What do you mean by that? This is what I mean. When, you know, this gospel has been talked about and preached about, and it's been talked about every year for so many years, you know, about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And you know, it's a wonderful story. But I think that what we really want and what we are really striving for, you and I as a believer, we know certainty in our hearts because of how God has changed our lives. If you have been a Christian for a while and you remember the first time you believed this, you trusted in this, then from that moment on, how did it change your life? It began to change your life as you begin to trust more in what Christ did on the cross for you and for me. Okay. Just the same with me. My life changed the moment that I prayed and I received Christ into my heart. But I, not only that, but I trusted what God had done or what he provided as a sacrifice for me. So that's one of the things that we have in the body of Christ is the living, not only the living testimony, but the living life that you and I live. Because of us being changed, because of who we are and who we were, you know, you can say we're a walking bulletin board, we're a walking billboard for the kingdom of God. We're proof that that the love of God and Jesus Christ died on the cross, that it does change. You and I are proof. Look at yourself. Look at you as an individual. Look at the way you are now to the way you were. Okay. There's a song that says that, you know, Jesus working on the inside, or no, Jesus, yeah, working on the inside, eventually working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I might be misquoting that, but it truly is true though. In other words, something on the inside, that's what it is. Something on the inside is working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Okay. It is a wonderful truth to understand this though, is that yes, when you receive Christ and when I received Christ, I knew something was working on the inside. I knew that. And it was encouraging. It was enlightening. It was powerful. It is powerful. And even now, okay, when people, I guess the biggest testimony that a person, that you and I can have, is our changed life. I told you before, people watch you, they watch me, and before they can even enter into the church, before they can read any word in the Bible, before anything that comes from you or from I about any testimony or any witnessing, is your changed life. When people see you or they see me and they see you from the daily, they're like, something different is about you. Something is about you that's totally different. There's nothing. There's something that's, you're not like everyone else. Okay. And it's not so much that you're trying to be good or anything else like that, but there is a purity and there is a power that's working within you and inside of me that is not just a part of our regular nature. Do you know that that humans, okay, we encounter each other all the time. And for the most part, when we run into each other, we can identify with one another because we're made in the image and likeness of God, but we're also made in the image and likeness of each other. And when everybody runs into each other, you know, from the day to day or just in life in general, they say, oh yeah, this person's a lot like me and this and that. But when they run into a believer, when they run into a sanctified believer, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you being really fully enveloped in this and your life, you walk your day-to-day life, then they know that there's something different about you. You're not the same person. You're not. Now, it's even more powerful. Your testimony is more powerful when you are among your relatives, when you're among friends, when you're among co-workers, when you're among people that already know how you were. And then you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life, basically. And how God begins to change your life. Do you know how awesome that is? In other words, a person can tell you, I not only believe the gospel based on what you've told me or based on what I've read or what was preached, but I believe it because I see it in your life. I believe it more because you're proof. You are proof. I am proof that God exists because of the fact that your life has changed. And that's what this is all about. This is part of what it's all about. Yes, you believe in eternal life. Yes, there's a moment that when we pass from this life, we're going to enter eternal life. But while we're here, there's a reason why when you accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not just snatched out of here and raptured out of here and go to heaven. Your life is a testimony for many others. People remember what you used to do, who you used to be, who you used to hang out with, the things that you used to do. Listen, you go from the old life, the old way of things, into the new thing, the way of things that you do. They're like, wait a minute, you used to, I remember you used to fight everybody. Or you used to cuss everybody out, or you used to be this and you used to be that. Okay. Because they know, and your life is such a powerful testimony. And I'm not sure if a lot of us, even we go through life, we don't understand how powerful that is for the non-believing world, or the person that hasn't believed yet or hasn't fully trusted God in their life. It's important. Okay. And this is why the resurrection is important. Why? Because we have hope. And because Jesus lives, guess what? We live. We truly live. Okay. You truly live. That means that you go from living the regular everyday life to living truly, fully in Christ. And that's such a glow. That's such a reigning, you are reigning through life. Am I saying that you're not going to have ups and downs? You're going to have ups and downs, but when you go through these problems, guess what? People are watching and saying, man, you know, that Jesus you believe in, that God that you believe in, that gospel that you talk about, This is really something. This is something that has really changed your life. I think I want to know more about it. And the reason why they can say that, because they say, if God can do what he's doing in you, I need him to do that in my life too. I need him to change my life too. This is the power of the gospel, folks. This is the power in which, and this is what God has been wanting. He not just wants to just give you eternal life, just to give it to you and to have a relationship with you. But don't you know that you're not by yourself? He wants to give a relationship to everybody. Okay. Everyone. Okay, so the last two verses that we're going to read, it says, I give them eternal life. He said, they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand, for I and the Father are one. All right, this is a powerful truth speaking by Jesus Christ himself. Okay. He, for one, let's just think about this. He himself is saying, I give them eternal life. What a powerful statement for a man to say. To, in other words, for a man to say, I give them eternal life, coming from a man. So it's like, wait a minute. How in the world are you able to do this? And they will never perish, right? There is so much power and truth behind this of what he said. He says, no one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. Okay, he's more powerful than anyone else. God himself is powerful, and because he's powerful and able to give them to him, what does that make him? It makes him powerful. It says no one, not a single person can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Now listen to this. When you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? He's got you. No one can ever snatch them out of the Father's hand. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and your salvation is secure. It's secure. Okay. I know that people think that you can lose it, but it's secure. And according to this, it's saying, for my Father has given them to me, and he's more powerful than anyone else, and no one can snatch them from the Father's hand. And if you could be snatched out of the Father's hand, that means that you would never have this relationship. This relationship was never valid, and that you had never received Christ. And the only thing that means now is that you have to make sure that your eternal destiny is secure. By doing that, is you pray and ask God to come into you, ask the Lord to come into your heart and to your life. And that you believe by faith, first of all, and you repent of your sins and turn from your ways, and then believe and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believe and trust in the work that he did on the cross, not the work that we can do. Your reliance and your dependence on God relies and depends on his powerful truth, his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross for us. Amen. As we continue on here, the last verse of this, John 3:16 states, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have what? Eternal life." John 3:16. I'm sorry, I made a mistake here. So John, the last scripture I read was from John 10:28-30. So I apologize about that. John 10:28-30, in case you're taking notes. Okay. John 3:16 is the next one. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Okay. Okay, so here's two things that I want to emphasize here. One, love. Okay, this is all about, in the beginning, this is all about God loving us. He loved us so much that he gave. Gave is another emphasis, a word that I see that's very powerful. He gave something. What did he do? He gave what? His one and only Son. He gave all that he had. He gave sacrificially, okay? So that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have what? Eternal life. And what is eternal life? That is a life that goes on and on and on and on and on. It never, never, ever ends. You and I, when living this life, when we leave this life, we will go on to live the beginning of eternal life. That eternal life is not going anywhere. You and I will live forever. So that's a powerful truth, that's a powerful truth to think about. Think about that. My mother and father, to see, this is why. When my mom and dad, when my mother and father passed away, yeah, as though I hurt very bad of their passing, but now I can honestly rest in the fact that my mother and father are living, and they're living forever. So for me, it's a comfort of knowing that they crossed from death to life. When you think about it, that in that way, they have crossed over from death to life. Anytime you have a loved one, someone that you're close to, especially one that's strong in the Lord and walk with the Lord, and so happens they pass away, you know what? Yes, we are sad because of the separation that they have from us in the physical realm or the physical world like this. But the truth is that they are walking forever in eternal life. And not just by themselves, with many people that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I just want you to be comforted in that truth. Be comforted in knowing that Christ, this is what this was all about. Okay. This was what this was all about. Guys, as we begin to get closer and closer to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we begin to just do more studies on this, you know, this week or this entire week, begin to be praying, asking God about or talking to God about how, you know, how to change, how this life has changed you, how his death, burial, and resurrection, how he's changed you in your life. I'm going to tell you, it's really changed me. It really has changed me. You know, I have meaning. I have purpose. I have a purpose in my life now. You know, a life is not just about getting up and going to work every day and everything. Even though, yeah, it feels like that at times, but I'm reminded that God, you know, God has a bigger plan for you and for me. And it's not just some, it doesn't stop there by being saved. It doesn't stop just by, you know, okay, let me receive the Lord in my life and that's it. And you get a Bible and go about your way. No, it's about being involved in the lives of people. So, I know that this is kind of a shorter one and ending it right now. So again, I really hope that you got something out of this devotion. I really, truly did. And, come away from this truth, you know, and having this understanding about the love of God in your life. Our lives are a testimony. Our lives are a living testimony to the unbelieving world or to a dark world. Do you know that when people walk next to you and you encounter their life, they see something different about you? They see that you're different, that you're not like them. Remember, there's so many people on the face of the earth. And God, what does he do? He blesses us and blesses you, blesses me with the sacrifice of his son. And us believing it, our lives are changed. The proof that the gospel is real, the proof that the resurrection is powerful and has changed, the proof that there is eternal life, the proof that everything that God has done and Jesus Christ has done over 2,000 years ago is you. It's me. It's your life. It's my life. It's your walk. It's your changed life. It's the person that you used to be. It's the person that your relatives, your coworkers, your friends, family, they see the changed life that you have. And what does that do for them? That makes them curious. That makes them curious, but it also shows them, even before they step in the church, before they read a Bible, before they want to hear the gospel, they want to see the gospel. They want to see, what does it look like? What does it look like? Is it tangible? Can I touch it? Can I taste it? What does it truly look like? And you know something? That's why it's important to live out the salvation, not just talk about the salvation. Live it out. Live out the salvation. My mom used to tell me one thing. She used to tell me, she said, you don't have to walk around with a sign on your back saying that you're a Christian. And as simple as that sounded, I know that she was right, because your life and what you do, you know, for Christ will win out. It will be shown. It will be shown. And there's nothing that you and I have to do to conjure it up. We don't have to go around doing just good deeds on purpose. No, no. If you're truly saved and you truly have a walk, a strong walk with the Lord in your life, guess what? There's people that normally don't. They'll notice it. They'll notice it. They'll notice it by your behavior, by the fruit, basically the fruit. They'll notice it, okay? And so, again, thank you, first of all, for hanging in there with me. Thank you for going through this devotional with me. I really appreciate it. And those of you that haven't, if this is your first time listening to this podcast or this Biblecast, you know, subscribe and share, first of all, to someone that hasn't got a chance to hear the gospel message, okay? And this doesn't end it for us. We're going to continue on, and we're going to be reading more about the journey to the cross, I call it, from This one is called Crossing Crowns, but I'm going to be going through some of the Gospels, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the things that led Jesus to the cross, and also the discussions that he had with people and the miracles that Jesus had done. For me, watching this and reading the Gospels for the first time in my life had changed my life. Okay, it has changed my life. It is, you know, and I like to always refer back to the time that I received Christ and how I went from religion, from just being religious or being believing more in church, because there's nothing wrong with going to church. There's actually nothing wrong with that. It's awesome. I think that we as Christians, the Bible tells us that do not forsake gathering together among the believers, okay? Because what is it that we do? We draw strength. I mean, praise and worship, and then getting the word of God and all that together with other believers, that draws strength and encouragement from one another, okay? So I went from church and I went from religion to relationship. Am I saying I disregard religion or that? Religion have its place because it gives you foundational truths and things like that. But remember, that's not what saves you. What saves you is a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And I just want you guys to come away with that. If you have not received Christ in your heart, in your heart, please, today, like right now, you know, accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, accept the fact that, I mean, bring, you know, receive that in Jesus' name. Receive that we rely on his work, not our own efforts. And you begin to learn to live a life that is reliant on God and this truth here. So I just want that. I wanted to kind of leave you with a little something to think about, and I hope that you got a lot out of this message and this devotion. Like I said again, we'll be doing more, and until then, you have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful day. Please, please, please be safe and love everyone. Most of all, love God. I'll be talking to you soon. You have a wonderful day.